Welcome, welcome, welcome. Another week. You made it. You made it. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back. This is the Rational Revolution. You've got Mark Becker. I'm so honored to be your host this week and every week. Last week, if you want to tune in, it was a great episode. We had Ben Wickler, Chairman Ben Wickler. We discussed how many marbles we're playing for here in April in Wisconsin with the Supreme Court race. Hint, it is all of them. You know, they're saying that this election is the first test, a real test of Donald Trump's presidency. A big deal. If you want to hit that up, civicmedia.us, you can get all the episodes as a podcast or wherever you get your podcasts as well. But this week, because you made it, I've got a treat for you. This is a returning guest. He's a big deal. When I was chairman of the Brown County Republican Party, this guy was the chairman of the RNC. Yes, the big RNC. It was awesome to lead our community following in his example. This is the former RNC chairman, former lieutenant governor, the incomparable Michael Steele. Mr. Chairman, it's good to have you back.
Hey, Mark, it's good to be back with you, man, and thanks for the shout-out, man. It's a real pleasure. I hope you and everybody's doing well in the great state of Wisconsin.
We're hanging in there, man. We're gearing up here for another battle. I have to ask, before we get going, lieutenant governor, chairman of the RNC, talking head on MSNBC, other than husband and father, what's your favorite title that you've ever had?
Lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because it leveled up for me in such a real way the responsibility you have as an elected official when citizens entrust their vote to you. And you are not allowed to crap all over it. You are not allowed to be smug with it. You are not allowed to presume anything from it other than to do the job they ask you to do. And I learned a lot. I am not a big government Republican. I believe government needs to run efficiently to provide the maximum amount of services that it possibly can to create the necessary safety nets for citizens who are struggling to make their way up the ladder of success, to take care of our elderly and our young. And that's, you know, ties into my gospel experience as a former Augustinian seminarian. Mm. So I connected all those dots in my public service, man. And I tell you, it's one of the things that I find the most profoundly disappointing about this era of public leadership. It outright sucks.
It does
and
suck.
The men and women in office today should all be removed and replaced with people who actually give a damn about the communities they represent. I learned that as lieutenant governor because, man, when I swore that oath of office on the Bible, I was no longer the Republican lieutenant governor. I was lieutenant governor. So I could not sit in my office and go, well, you're from a blue county in Maryland. we're not going to, you know, I'm going to make sure the governor doesn't give you any support. Right. But that's just, it's crazy. Yeah. You know, you can't do that in public service. So that job for me was, oh man, I tell you, it was such a wonderful experience and it brought me really close to the people of Maryland in a way that public leadership really should, that we just don't see today.
You know, I've been an elected official locally here as well. And it's just, it's such a, I mean, election night. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's thrilling. And then all of a sudden there's this big wave that hits you. It's like, oh crap. Like,
right.
What a responsibility.
Yeah, you know, it really does. And I remember a friend of mine, election night, because we weren't expected to win in 2002. We were running against
the sitting
lieutenant governor, who was Kathleen Kennedy Towson, who was the niece of Ted Kennedy.
Yeah.
The son of the daughter of Bobby Kennedy. And we weren't supposed to win, and we did. And I just remember a friend turning to me and looking at me again. He's like, dude, don't screw this up. You know, it's like, okay, you're here now. Don't screw this up.
Right.
And I, you know, I wanted to honor those words.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate exactly what you were saying about election night where you go, oh, crap.
Yeah. Right. So last time you were here was October 5th. Okay. The world has changed a little bit. So like, I remember you said that you consider yourself a card carrying, hardcore conservative, black Catholic Republican because it pisses them off. Are you still there?
I still am, and they're still pissed, and that's
and they're pissed. Oh yes.
Look, right? Yeah, right. Next year, Mark, I will be a member of this party for 50 years.
Oh, cool.
And I know for a fact Donald Trump is not a Republican, never has been.
No.
Because I knew the guy. Worked years before he got into politics. So it just boiled down to a core set of values and ideas that drew me to the party that I still believe in. I still believe we are always have been, the party for individual liberties and freedoms, the party that respects the promise of this country. We were born out of that spirit. We broke away from the Whigs because we believe so profoundly in the individual liberties of slaves and wanted to set them free. And then expanding that in the civil rights era of the 50s and 60s, only to then walk away from it. And so, you know, I see this journey as being a little bit like a Motel 6 Republican. You know, someone's got to keep the lights on. But the reality of it is you want the lights out on that party. And that's fine. And that very well, some have said it has happened. Some light left on the porch. But I will hold that light on as long as I can for Republicans inside the party like myself. Still profoundly believe in those values, and whether whether they reemerge inside the RNC or they emerge in something else, I hold on to them because I believe in them. And you know, it's not that just the lower taxes and limited government crap. I mean, that's good, but it was always how we valued people and their rights under the Constitution, man, and. What we're seeing now happening to federal workers, what we're seeing happening to families and communities that are being torn apart and disrupted the way they are. Look, I'm not going to sit and advocate for big government and all that. That's not the point. The point is that the men and women in our civil service, for example, are good people. Some of them are the sole breadwinners in their families. Right. And the fact that, you know, the party has a hand in this level of disruption, for what purpose? And that's not even made clear.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah, I'm still in that fight, holding up, you know, holding the flag up and trying to keep, you know, putting new fresh light bulbs on the porch light. But they keep coming by and shooting them out. So we'll, you know, keep putting them up.
I want to hit on something that you said in that answer. You talked about limited government. And I remember, you know, when I was in the Republican Party, because I am no longer there. And it's really sad because I grew up that way. And I believe in limited government. I believe in, you know, government staying out of people's lives and all of that. But what we have now is a Republican Party that has all of our Social Security numbers. And we've got this Lex Luthor guy that has access to every single one of our, you know, federal government's systems. Like, what is more invasive? What is more intrusive? What is more big government than that? And they're okay with it. Like, what you said last time you were here, you said that the latecomers to the Republican Party, they need to sit the hell down and step aside because they have not earned the right to claim ground. What is going on? The big government. The Republican Party is now the party of big government.
It is. It is the party of big government. Number one, it is the party of Putin. So the admonition of Ronald Reagan regarding the evil empire and the Soviet state is now come full circle, and we've embraced that. And because you got to keep in mind, Vladimir Putin, when Gorbachev was the president head of the Soviet Union, he was still a KGB officer.
Yes.
And he's always been a KGB officer, and he longs for an imperial Russia. And it's not even about the old Soviet state. He wants an imperial Russia, where it claims the land of the earth, and puts the Russian imprimatur on it. And Donald Trump buys into that. This Republican Party buys into that. And we saw that play out this week with the UN, which was just a symbolic vote of support for Ukraine, where we sided with the axis of evil,
right?
Belarus, Russia, et cetera. So yeah, these folks make these claims, but at the core and the heart of it, Mark, are the men and women sitting in the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
And they are the ones who have acquiesced not only to this notion, but of big government republicanism, illiberal global relationships with the wrong side, if you will, you know, crapping all over our partners and so forth. They have given license to it. They've not spoken out against it. So, you know, when you look at the transformation of the party, it has this infection, which instead of applying the appropriate medicine to combat the infection, which goes to what I was saying when I was last on your show, mm-hmm. they've allowed the infection to consume the body politic. And so now we're here. And there is no, you know, there is no real easy way to heal from this because of the damage that is done to the body politic within the Republican Party, but now more broadly, that's impacting communities outside the party who we're now going to go back to and say, hey, could you vote for these candidates or that candidate, give us more power? That argument becomes hard to make. I think a lot of folks misjudge the outcome of the 24 election and thinking, oh, there's this now national embrace of Donald Trump and MAGA. There isn't, because if there were, the margins in the House would have been much bigger, and the margins in the Senate would have been bigger because they had the advantage on both those courts. So it does say to me that beneath the surface, there is this brewing idea of what is going to happen inside the Republican Party. And I know a lot of Republicans, former and current Republicans like myself, are looking for a way to level up that conversation. And I think you're starting to see it in some of these town halls where people are pushing back and going, what are you doing? You know, you're supposed to be representing us, our interests. Why are you representing Elon Musk's interest?
We're talking to Michael Steele here on the Rational Revolution. On the other side, we're going to talk about that a little bit of what's the future of the GOP and where they're going to go. So stick around. We'll be right back.